March 5, 2021, it's the Watch the Pedro Show.
the dark with roaring manes, shriek into my sleep, and hurl me from my dream into reality. But only fiction makes sense now. Reason slips back and forth from one corner to the next, devious as a cat with a bad conscience, always sliding by unnoticeably, just when I've realized it's not where I am. It's gone again, hiding in the shed, vomiting into the rat's race. Why do I feel so forgotten in the face of evil? Where have all the heroes gone? But I don't believe that God is dead. He is my neighbor, feeding the cat, the grumpy grocer with his ancient baseball bat, the firefighter risking his life, and the mayor's wife. I don't believe that God is dead. He is the crazy lady wearing a wig, the nurse with a scab on her face, leftovers from wearing a mask all day, and her innocent daughter. I don't believe God is dead. He is the politician that cares for the poor and the rich man who shares more than he can write off as tax deduction. I don't believe God is dead. He is a concept to aspire to, not a religion or a rigid faith, but a good hard look into your own face and soul. Have you met up with a challenge? What was the toll? Did the scale tip or flip to your side? But my dog howls and the water sprouts up out of my sink into a boiling cascade that nobody drinks, and sometimes I feel as if I've been crying for years, tears of wrath and distress that suggest hopelessness. Fury is what I feel most of the time. Fury is the deceit, the cheap mime, the lies and the injustice, the moldy steak cut out of a dying cow's thigh, served on a golden platter, garnished with rotting cheese, and sold as a delicacy in our society, in which the bees are dying on a scale so large that the universe seems dwarfed by its obscenity. Little bits of shiny metal swooping over my head in the sun, are they the North Korean invasion, or just poised forks ready to drop the bomb? And yet I don't believe that God is dead. His spirit is the beauty we had, and the hope still there, and an end to the nightmare.
Walk for Pedro Show. Happy Friday, last Friday of March. No, first Friday of March. Losing track. No, but get it together. It's vaccine time, people. We're all hopeful. Start off, John Coltrane with Miles Davis doing Dear Old Stockholm, alternate take. And then Strange Times, appropriately. From Daniela DiPicciotto. Welcome aboard again, Daniela. It's so great to have you back.
Oh, it's so great to hear you again.
Okay. Yes, those genius Estonian software engineers with their Skype invention. We are not, I am not totally man alone. Brother Matt's still up to Love Grotto and Pleasure Point. He's quit in quarantino mode, but we're working on that, right? So you have a new album. I mean, what was The Element of Love, but the one before, you made one in 2019, we talked about it.
Deliverance, exactly.
And yeah. like that was made in a whole different kind of trip. But I, of course, it's a Daniela record, so I hear, you know, the comp. But tell me the story about it. I'll let you use your own words.
You know, we were supposed to be touring all year last year. We had like a European tour and a U.S. tour, and everything was canceled because of the pandemic. So
postponed.
Well, postponed until this year, and now it's just been postponed to the next year.
It's wishful thinking. It's wishful thinking.
Yeah, I wonder if I'm ever going to see a stage again.
No, we will. But, we will. I have hope.
Okay, good.
I'm not saying when, but it's going to happen.
Yeah. Yeah, curious. Such a strange situation. So, you know, we're nomads, so we don't really even have an apartment. We have studios in Berlin, and we have a tiny office room, and that's basically where we've been spending our time throughout the whole pandemic. So we were kind of like, well, if we're going to be here, we might as well work as much as possible in our studios, because that little office room we're sleeping in is like you can't stay in there for very long, at least not with two people and one of them being as tall as Alex.
Yep, that's right.
So basically I said, okay, then I was writing a book at that point. I was writing my second graphic novel. And then I said, I really feel like doing another solo album. So I started working on the solo album last September. And by that time, you know, people were starting to realize that the pandemic was going to be, it was going to take longer than everybody had thought. And people were going a little crazy. We had a lot of conspiracy theorists, yeah. Stuff like that, you know. So I was like, I want to do a record that kind of speaks about, you know, the crazy world we're living in. But at the same time, not to have it get too depressing. I wanted to add some humor and some, you know, hope into it, musically as well as my lyrics. So
thank
that was kind
you,
of my
thank
idea.
You. Yes, that's what I was feeling. It's so easy to feel sorry for ourselves. But on the other hand, that's part of expression and creativity.
Yeah. And, you know, we're freelance artists, so we're used to having like unusual situations and constantly dealing with some kind of crazy stuff. So
right.
We know that we have to stick it out.
So you didn't do it in that little office, did you?
I did it in my little studio here, yeah.
Okay. Well, but the common space that you shared, or do you have another space? No.
Well, we have an office where we have like a sofa bed where we sleep.
Yep.
And then we have our studios. Like I have a studio and Alex has a studio next door. And there we work.
Ah, okay. So your music, and also, you know, you do, well, you know, listeners, please know that Daniela also makes drawings and paintings.
Yes, exactly.
Which
so in my studio, it's like, at the moment, it's completely covered with ink and paper because I'm trying to do some prints here. But I also have like a table full of electronic instruments and stuff, so I always go back and forth.
Okay.
When I'm rendering something, I go and paint, and then I go back and record some more music.
Okay, now, you know, we started with Strange Times, which, you know, you just described where that came from. Okay,
yeah.
But then there's a tune I want to play next called Homesick.
Yeah. Well, I was actually homesick for the U.S. because, you know, we were going to be touring there and I have so many friends there and I'm from the U.S. originally. And it was strange to be, you know, kind of stuck in one place when you've kind of prepared yourself to be traveling that much. So I kind of was like trying to express how my homesickness felt. And that's why it's instrumental too. Because it doesn't really have, you know, it's hard to describe that with words. It's more of a feeling.
Sure. Like John Coltrane's Alabama. You just need the title,
yeah.
Right? Yeah. And so, but this is interesting. Me thinking about the process that you used to make this record. Did you make demos or like the tunes just came and then they were realized?
I never really make demos. I don't do sketches for drawings either. I don't know why, but I just jump into the real thing immediately. And I just work, you know, doing layers of electronic sounds and violin melodies on top of each other. And then I do the music first And then I listen to the pieces, and then I kind of figure out which pieces I think are good to continue being instrumental. And then I work on them a little more. And the other ones that where I think, okay, they'd be good for vocals or for spoken word, I start working on the lyrics then.
Okay, musically, like, do you come with a theme, a tema or something as like the anchor, and then you start piling
things? Yeah, okay. Exactly.
So
yeah,
like,
yeah,
like
exactly.
You wrote the bass part first.
Yes.
In my situation, I'm always writing the bass part first. Lots of times it's the only part. Then I ask everybody else to jump on. Okay, let's listen to Homesick.
Okay.
Love until the sun goes down. And I, to the view. you're worried that you aren't enough for him. So you decorate yourself with candles. If it's just a dream, then it was just a dream. You get the horns confused with candles. Just a dream, and a dream was just a dream.
been in this world for some 40 years. I like to think in that time I've learned a thing or two. Well, here's one of those things I'm sure I know. There's nothing above us, not a thing below. I really hope that don't make you despair. Get up off of your knees, boy. There's nothing for you down there. Get up off of your knees, girl. And live your life. Do you know how lucky you are to be alive? Millions could have been born in your place. Yet here you are, a life full of mistakes. There is no salvation and no saving grace. All we've got is this dirt and this imperfect place. Get up off of your knees now. Get up off of your knees. Get up off of your knees now. Get up off of your knees. Get up off of your knees now. Get up off of your knees. Get up off of your knees now. There's nothing for you down there.
off from Pivo Show, that chunk of music. Started with Daniele Di Picciotto doing Homesick. Then Richard Hale, you know, I've been playing all this stuff. He found the master tapes to his second album, Destiny Street, and remixed it all and included a bunch of demos and stuff, some live stuff. It's a great. He sent it to me in the mail. I got it. And he signed on it and everything. Yeah, you know, he was my first punk rock hero, so it's like incredible. One time in the 70s, he had an ad for his first record, and it had a phone number. It said, call hell. I think it was in Korean. So I called, and when he answered the phone, I got scared and hung up. I go, is this hell? I was too scared and hung up. I think I asked him about, maybe he remembered that, I don't know. But a Barry Berko band after that. This guy in Tel Aviv right now, he wants to move to Berlin soon because he says it's hard to find work there. And so he's coming. He's got this big symphony, and this is like the sixth part. This is Coriolis. I've been playing a part every episode. Gareth Sager after that from the pop group with his, well, he calls it a quintet or something, but it's just him and a sax player, him on a piano. So I guess you can call anything, right? And this is Minotaur 8, Nine of Swords from Joe Cardamone. He's making a big piece, too. Everybody's making operas and symphonies. And this is part four of what he calls Quarantina. Andy Kerr after that, he was on the show a couple episodes ago. Canadian guy, been living in the Netherlands now for 30 years. And he made this great album, and this is a tune called Compilation Tape. It used to be heavy in the old days. That's how you found out about other bands. Obama's Prendin after that, Bugs and Industry. These cats, they live about in the D.C. area, and they made about, recorded about 4,000 or 5,000 songs, did like 5 or 6 gigs in 40 years. But they're still going. they're letting this cat into their archives to put out more stuff. Hans Rotten from Switzerland after that with No Wave Noise, Freeform. I guess that's pretty descriptive. And Hatchetfield, brand new. Nothing Above or Below. And finally, Daniele Di Picciotto with The Decline of Western Civilization. Did you ever see that movie?
Yes, of course. It's great.
Kick Boy, right? What's his name? Claude Bessy. I mean, we lost him, and I think lung cancer. But he gives this big rap about New Wave. There's no such thing as New Wave. Right? It's something you say at the parties or so. So they don't kick you out. Or he's got this whole spiel. But there's a lot of moments in that. Well, you weren't thinking of that when you did this, though, were you?
Not really. I always liked the title, though. I thought it was an amazing title. So I was kind of like, I'm just going to, you know, nod over to the movie and kind of, I mean, you know, in a way, punk music always spoke about, you know, what's not really working out in our system and stuff. And so I'm basically saying, yeah, well, it's basically the decline. It's at the end now.
But you know what's trippy about that? There was a part two. And it wasn't punk rockers. It was like, yeah, butt rock bands, you know, hair stuff from Sunset Boulevard thing.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like this guy at his mom's house drinking vodka and shit.
Wow. I didn't see that.
Yeah, that's even more decline in a way. You know, the punk rockers with their funny names and clothes, you know. But in a way, this other thing was this part two, you know, the, I don't know what you call, you know, what's your ideas on giving genre names to music?
I always think it's difficult. I mean, like the music I did with Alex, we just don't even know what to say to, like, what to call it, because there's no real name for that. And same kind of like with my music. I mean, I don't know. I think that, I guess, I don't know, the music industry needs the names for genres, but in general, how are you going to, like, you know, squeeze a piece of music into, like, a term that tight?
Yeah, exactly. And you brought up another question that I have. When you say industry, does that thing exist?
The music industry?
Yeah.
Well, somewhere outside of my life, it was.
So, should we even care? I mean, when I think of your music, I think of that M word, music.
Oh,
I don't need that other stuff.
Right. And yeah, me neither.
Yeah, I wonder if we really do. I think maybe we've been conditioned that you had to put a label on. Maybe.
Yeah, I think so. I mean, I think that the industry needs to put label on things to be able to sell it. So that's why they did it. But we're there to contradict the labels.
Right. They're trying to make their job easier.
Yeah.
Or a shortcut or something. And that, our job is to make it much more difficult.
Exactly.
Okay. Okay, so let's get back to the decline of Western. So, did you come up with that title? You said you really liked the title. Did you come up with it first?
No, I did the music first, and then I was listening to it, and I was like, "Wow, that!" And suddenly, I just thought of that title, and I was like, "God, this is perfect."
Yeah, I always think of that. There was some book by this guy in England, "The Rise and Fall of the Roman." So I think that's. Looking at those people, we always put, they're the yardstick.
Yeah.
Right?
Exactly. Yeah. And also, I wanted it to be kind of sad, but at the same time, kind of beautiful, because I thought, there's always beauty in every ending, too, because of the effort put into, everything that happened. And also, as soon as something ends, something else can start. So it's like that, tidal flow of things coming and going. So I didn't want it to be like a super depressing song. So I thought, it somehow has something heroic to it too, in a way, like, this may be the end, but we did a really, we really tried.
So like cycles, the idea of cycles.
Exactly.
Yeah. There was what was his name? He kind of sings like, Dr. King. Chuck D. He says, cycles, cycles. Life comes in cycles. Old is new. No, I'm not. I ain't no psycho.
Yeah.
Which I think is, whenever you could do shit like that with rhyming, I'm way into it. but this thing about, if something ends, that means something's up next.
Exactly. And hopefully something better. So that's why... I didn't want it to be too depressing.
Do you think there's an urge to airbrush the old days? Like, we got to bring those things back. We got to make them happen again.
In a way, but I always think that they have to come back in a new way. Like, I really like the generation at the moment that's being, like, really politically radical and active and stuff like that. Somehow it feels like it's the first time since the 80s that a generation like that is like that again. And I think it's pretty exciting. So in a way, they kind of latch on to things that maybe were happening when we were, like, in our 20s or something, and now they're bringing it into a new kind of context. And I think it's pretty exciting at the moment.
You're talking a lot about, like, kind of aware critical thinking?
Like Black Lives Matter and all that.
Right. It seems there's another trend that's trying to address that critical thinking with this, you want everything destroyed. What's the word? Canceled.
Oh, God. Yeah.
Yeah, to me, that's almost like some... knee-jerk thing saying, don't think about that stuff because it's going to lead to you being a bigot.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I mean, I think that, they have to become like super, it just has to become like super extreme for something to change, and then it's going to get different again. It's just like all these different things are happening at the moment, and nobody really knows and understands everything that's happening, and people are just trying to make change happen. And it's like this kind of, crazy birth of something new. And sometimes it can be really weird.
Yeah, of course.
But it probably needs to happen for something to change. And there's so much that has to change that I think it's, I'm willing to go along and see what good can come out of it.
Then do you think art and expression comes along with it, like beside it, ahead of it, behind it?
Oh, absolutely. I think that, you know, I actually think that we as artists, musicians and all, you know, we have a really, we're the ones that can help people not to despair somehow with all of these things, like, because we're not doing it for the money. We're doing it because we're trying to, like, you know, give some kind of truth or I don't know, like love or helping hand or something, you know, no matter how it's expressed. I think that art is really, really important at the moment, specifically at the moment. And music, of course. I mean, music is art, so.
Right. Yeah, it's a form.
Yeah.
Because in a way, we're with that problem, like the genre thing inside of music, it seems art has its kind of genre names, right? There's visual, there's audio, there's, you know, whatever, touch.
All those terms.
Yeah, when it's all expression, right?
Exactly.
I mean, I've always had this dilemma with my buddy Raymond Pettibone because, you know, he's of the visual and I'm from the audio. And so, the different pig pens, you know, the cows here, pigs over here, you know. And so, like, I make music projects just to have him involved to show it's all just different.
That's forms. Great.
You have same trip. And you do this with your own. You make music and you make visual art.
Yeah, it's kind of, for me, it's always like, you know, I have ears and eyes. Why shouldn't I use both?
Right. Now, is there an art industry? Because we were blaming the genre thing on the music industry, right? Do you think there's an art industry that does that stuff?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
And I don't get along with it either. I don't know. I'm bad at hierarchies. I'm bad at people telling me what to do. You know, as soon as I start doing what other people want to do, I'm not that good anymore. So I have to really be able to follow my own voice. And, my voice can be, you know, kind of outside of what is considered mainstream or whatever people can make money off of. So, I'm usually outside of that whole district.
Yeah. And in a way, maybe that kind of feeds your art.
Totally.
Okay. Well, I'm thinking of the farmer, you know, and he's thinking of a crop and like, what do I got to do? Well, I need rain, but I also need a lot of manure.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay, we're at the end of the first hour of the March 5, 2021 edition of What Pedro Show. Special guest, Daniela Di Picciotto. Hold tight for hour two. March 5, 2021. It's the second hour of the Watt for Pete Rose Show.
I believe we are superheroes in writhing amnesia, riddled by arrows, bound to a lie, blind to the abyss. Our wings torn with halos of doom, dressed in black, shrouded in gloom, we are superheroes with X-ray vision that confine themselves to the collision of mundane experience with petty power and everyday yellow press trash towers, preferring the security of a regular job than saving the world from a lynch mob. We could vanquish all evil with a toss of our heads, shapeshift to wizards, take dragons to bed. It's all at the tip of our tongue, not the sword, but we ignore our capacity of the unexplored. Kryptonite rays ablaze in our hearts and instead trail the dull shine of phone and computer parts, listening to the complex lies of apes that revise truth as an advertised Bluetooth phone booth. turmoil, thrashing and crying, entrapped in the mortal coil. Depressed, overweight, cankerous centaurs stuck in the wardrobe like dinosaurs, await news of a miracle, praying for Dumbledore or a deadpan Batman, blind to the fact that we are Aslan, weakened by denial, the sub-dial of our minds that can pierce stone. But we bemoan our fate, worry that it's too late, and take another Xanax to calm our panic. We who fly to the moon and have Einstein's theory truly underestimate our own glory. Superheroes with spectacular powers. We collapse and rebuild the mightiest towers, crumble walls with a single sentence, and fight successfully for independence. Let the Green Lantern shine its legacy over the bestiality of man's fall, the writing on the wall shining bright on his monstrous destruction site, and recall our original mission, the transition of alchemy to restore as we were before, our magical features, the law of the heavens, our teachers, and return to our predestined fate to be beautiful creatures.
Yeah. Thank you. Thank you.
off for Pedro Show. Start off the second hour with Beautiful Creatures. Daniela Di Picciotto. No Mercy after that. My Wild Love. Did you ever hear No Mercy? I mean, there's an H, right? It's like that opera in Japan. No. These guys were from, well, they're actually two ladies. They're from the 70s up in the city. It was just a singer and a drummer.
Yep. Oh.
D. Boone had this great quote, punk is whatever we made it to be. Yeah, you didn't have to play fast guitar, actually. You could do anything you want in the old days. Andrea Pensado after that with Old Density. Jessica at 93 with Enigma of the Absolute. And then Luminous, Daniel Di Picciotto. Yeah, so this band, No Mercy, yeah, this singer and drummer. Why not? You know, is it not right? Dick Clark, you say, does it got to, you know, does it got to beat? Can you dance?
Exactly. Why not?
So tell me about this Beautiful Creatures song.
Well, that stems from my conviction that we are actually all secretly superheroes, but we just don't know it. And I'm convinced that we could all fly if we weren't being distracted by all these different things that don't really actually matter very much, but that are told to us that they matter a lot. So that's kind of what the song is about.
Wow. And again, the process, right? You came up with the music and then, wow, this one needs words.
Exactly. And I took a long time to write that one because, I don't know, for some reason it was really difficult because I knew that I wanted to write a song about that theme because I was like, you know, I really like superhero movies and stuff like that. And I was like asking myself, why do I like them so much? And then I was like, because I always had the feeling that's actually, you know, we could actually be doing all of that instead of just, you know, I don't know, sitting around and looking at the iPhone.
Were you into comics as a girl?
Not that much, kind of, but I got more into them when graphic novels started appearing. Like I like them more if there's like bigger pictures. I'm not that much into like tiny little pictures.
Okay,
so probably because my eyes are bad.
Oh yeah, that makes sense. So like novellas or anime, not anime, manga.
Yeah.
You got into that stuff?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Actually, Raymond's drawings, he used novellas. He would use the overhead projector. He showed me once, I remember. It shines up on the bulkhead and then kind of traces.
Wow.
Yeah,
I love his work. Yeah, he's great.
Well, I found out that what's that Dutch man? Before they had cameras, right, they wanted a lot of reality. The girl with the ear. He used a camera obscura. He was showing the backgrounds in Holland of what he painted. Yeah.
Right.
Well,
and I think you can even see it in one of his paintings I once learned. I don't know which one it is. I think there's like a mirror in the painting and you can see that projector camera or whatever in the mirror.
Oh, wow. Okay. So
yeah.
Remember that in The Wizard of Oz, pay no attention to that man behind the curtain.
Yeah, exactly.
You destroyed all the magic. And Luminous?
Luminous is off of my very first solo album, and I basically wrote that in Joshua Tree, which I love and I miss totally. So it's kind of like, you know, the atmosphere, desert atmosphere for me, like cradle of mankind.
Yeah, nighttime in the desert.
Love it.
It's incredible. Incredible. But I want to play, I put it there because compare it with these newer ones.
Right.
And I want to play Dancing in the Rain now.
Oh, nice. Okay.
you need Christ.
Thank you.
Watch for Pedro show. Start off that chunk of music with Danielle DiPicciotto with Dancing in the Rain. Then Network Glass from Baltimore with 2A. This cat is incredible. I mean, I don't even know where the sounds are coming from. But do you, yeah. You don't even have to worry about the man behind the curtain. Yes, it's just incredible. It's a spacey, cosmic whatever. Ben Salter from Tasmania after that was String Packets, Pitch and Yaw. Pitch and Yaw's what a boat. Well, I guess Spaceship can do it too. It's kind of hard for a car because you got a 2D world there. Sam Lockward out of Iowa City with Christ in Your Life. PSXO. I think that's an acronym because the vowel's at the end there. With glossolalia. Why not, man? If it's your song, why not make up fucking words? And then finally, The Seventh Day. Daniela DiPicciotto. Seventh Day. Well, first Dancing in the Rain.
Okay.
You can speak about it. We already played it.
Oh, okay.
People, we should let those people in on. You know, I put the music on digitally, people, so we don't really hear it until we hear the show like you guys. So, yeah, I pasted it in there, so go ahead.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, that's one of the songs. Which I don't really have on my new album. I don't really have any ones that I sing, except one that's called Solitude. And Dancing in the Rain is from my my second solo album, Deliverance.
Yeah.
And it's one of the songs where I actually sing. So I really enjoyed that one. It was somehow, it's like a mixture of kind of fun and being melancholic at the same time or something. I don't know. I think that's maybe typical me.
Parallel universes.
Exactly.
Well, you know, I asked because, I mean, you gave me this collection, so this was on your mind.
Exactly.
Okay. And The Seventh Day?
The Seventh Day is from the last album I did with Alex. And the album is called The Current, and we recorded that in Blackpool. Where we saw you.
That's right. I was helping out the Flipper guys. Now, but you called this one Daniela DiPicciotto. So when is it Hack Picciotto?
Well, The Seventh Day is actually Hack DiPicciotto.
Oh, okay. So if I fucked up, I got to correct that.
Sorry.
That's okay. That's what I thought. I thought when you guys played together, that's the name. Okay. So
yeah.
I'll fix that. Okay. So this is the team effort. Blackpool, yeah, which was kind of like for England people a vacation town in the old days, right?
Yeah, it's like an amazing place. We have a friend who comes from there, John Robb. Have you heard of him? He's like the singer of the Membranes.
Yeah,
and he's a good friend of ours, and he told us about Blackpool, and we had also seen a movie on it, which is I think called Funny Bones. It's this really, really great movie about comedians in Blackpool, I think in the 20s or something. We're like, wow, we have to go there. So then we were going to record our last album. We said, okay, let's go to Blackpool and do it there. And then we were told that it's a pretty down and out place in the meantime.
Yeah, a little beat down, yeah.
Yeah, it's pretty poor. And so we went there and it was like really quiet. The only thing we noticed was that, like, on the plane going there, that there were all these punk musicians on the plane. We're like, that's strange. Is it like, do they like going here? And then there were more and more every day. And then we found out there was this really huge festival called Rebellion Festival.
That's right. And that's what
and then
I was
we saw you. And we had no idea. We were like, what is happening?
Well, that's with the trip of life, right? Things come up. Things happen.
Yeah.
There was a picture in the dressing room where we were before we went on the stage. He's talking about the Stones playing there in the early 60s, and somebody spit on Keith Richards, so he hit him over the head with his guitar.
Wow.
Yeah,
that place is incredible, isn't it? That venue with all like those five huge, amazing halls.
Yeah, you can tell there was an Empire thing going on. one time. A,
yeah.
But by the time, yeah, these days, it's kind of a little beat, little beat. But the, the punkers repurposed it for a rebellion festival. Look, we're at the end of the second hour, March 5, 2021 edition, Watt Pete Rush, special guest, Danielle DiPiciato. Hold tight for hour three. March 5, 2021. It's the third hour of the Watch for Pedro show.
We're tough. Thank you. just got in to the church last night. They got in and they opened the padlock. They shook out the pocket. They got in and they took it out. And it better than this. They got in and they took it out. And it better than this. And the bit the vicar got the bit the vicar's wife, like they've been saving it up, they've been saving it up for their whole damn life. And better than this. They've been saving them up for years, just turn them loose, just turn them loose. And then the fat rats got in. They got in the pantry, and they spread out the blankets. They turned on the magnet, the magnet, the magnet. The pack rats got blood. They never forget, they can't give it up, and they never give it in. And the pack rats got blood. They never forget, they can't give it up, and they never give it in. They never give it in, cause it's a fingers work, it is, it is, it is. Don't it make you noise? Don't it give it a whistle? Laugh like crazy, 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 laugh like crazy. If it's a positive man, you can't get him out and out and old naked. Laugh like crazy, laugh like crazy, laugh like crazy, laugh like crazy. They got a big mouth, a gal, a gal. Came up nowhere. They've been through a trap door. Said, what are these for?
Watt for Pedro show. We start off the third hour, Hack de Picciato with Petty Silver. Now, people, this is what I was talking about when her and Ox get together. Her expression changes slightly because she's a part of a team effort. I mean, what would you call the difference between just Daniela and then Hack de Picciato?
When I'm doing my solo stuff, I'm alone in my studio and I just work on it. And then sometimes there's songs where I'm like, I could really use a good bass on this. And, then of course I go next door and I ask Alex, could you play some bass?
Yeah, bring it.
But then there's songs where so he's only playing a little bit of bass, and then it stays like my solo piece. But then when we get together to record a Hack de Picciato album, we're in the studio together, and we're always like, we always are very, we always wanted to be 50-50, like 50% him and 50% me. And if it's exactly 50-50, it always works out. So.
Yeah.
It's interesting because we took a long time to somehow find our like specific sound, and it only worked out when we were exactly 50-50 because we play such different instruments. Like one cannot dominate the other instrument because otherwise it just doesn't work.
It hurts the whole. Interesting. Right, if one Bogarts, it hurts the whole.
Yeah.
Whole, yeah. I mean with the W, people.
Exactly.
Okay. We had Crane with Cut after that. Mike Cooper and Elliot Sharp, Rotating Fields, Pineapple Empress out of South London with Enlightenment, Men and Volts. This is when they had David Greenberger, Pack Rats. And finally, Third from the Sun, Hack de Picciato. And Third from the Sun, Third Stone from the Sun is Jimmy, right?
Yeah, exactly. So it's kind of like the same thought.
Which has got a really great bass line. Oh, my God.
Yeah.
And his voice is so, you know what I mean? It was musical on its own. It was just, and I read about stuff. He couldn't stand listening to it. And in the studio, he had to have all the lights out when he did his vocals. He was really insecure about it.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I know, wow. Because his voice is so distinctive, right?
Yeah, totally.
Just as much as
his
guitar, yeah.
Yeah.
But that shows to go you know, that's why we make bands. You know, there's times for solo stuff, but another person can validate. I mean, what's the other side of being insecure? All narcissists and full of yourself, breaking your arm, patting yourself on the fucking back. We don't need that shit.
No.
No. So when you go solo, it's not really a big ego thing. It's just like, well, this is what's got to be done this way.
Yeah, I mean, I wanted to go solo in 95 already because I was, I used to have a band in the 90s, early 90s that was like a hip-hop rock crossover band called Space Cowboys. It was a Berlin band. And I discovered trip-hop and I was like, wow, I really like this. I'd really like to do something like that. So then I started trying to write solo pieces because I couldn't find anybody in Berlin that understood what I was trying to do. But it didn't work out. I didn't know how to record. And back then you could only do stuff with 4-track and I just couldn't find anybody. And then, when I did my first solo album in 2015, I had learned how to work with, computer program in the meantime. And Alex was on tour with Neubauten. So I was like, okay, what do I do when he's on tour? And I was like, oh, I'm just going to work on that music I wanted to do 20 years ago.
That's so great, though. I'm really trying to encourage. Part of it's the situation. The shit got more econo and easier to use. But, yeah, musicians record themselves.
Exactly. That way you're not like, dependent on anybody and you can just play around and see what happens. And, it's fun. It's like,
Think
fun.
About the old days. What if like only a couple dudes wrote? Everybody had to go to these couple guys who knew how to write. We had to all tell them our stories.
Exactly. It's like, and that's what happened to me in 95 because I got a little advance, from my record company back then, and they said, okay, well, if you want to do your solo, then this, you go in a studio. So I had to find, like, you know, an engineer. I had to find a studio. I had to do all of that, and it didn't work out because they didn't understand what I was trying to do. And so I was, like, really despondent afterwards because I was so dependent on all of these people. So I was really happy in 2015 that I could just do it by myself.
Yeah, I bet you. Here, I'm going to play you Awake, another hacked T. Picciotto collab.
Thank you. I'm an intrinsically nervous person. I'm nervous every day. Every minute. But at the same time, I am an extremely relaxed person. Every day, every minute, I love being daring. It's good. Staggeringly emotional person.
Don't be.
offer Pedro's show last music for this edition. Start off with Hack D. Picciotto doing Awake. And then Mirror Mirror from Yoko Ono with Kim Gordon and Thurston Moore.
Nice.
That's a collab.
Yeah. Nice.
And then finally, Jericho from Hack D. Picciotto, which I really dig, man. Yeah. They knocked down the walls with the fucking horns, right? The chauffeur, the goat.
Yeah.
Right? They did some loops, did some rounds around the town. And such a trippy story. But, yeah. But so, empowerment, right? Learning how to record your own records. And actually, kind of like skateboard, right? You just learn by doing, right? You fell down a few times. You just kept going, picked yourself up.
Oh yeah, absolutely. a lot of falling down.
Right, like, right. but that's one of the good things, right? You can it's all ones and zeros, so you just hit the delete key and start over.
Exactly.
Yeah. People should, I think, kind of take advantage. It's a different situation than in the old days. $150 for a used of 15 minutes of tape.
Man, exactly.
You don't have those kind of limited. I don't have to go to Hollywood and give guy $1,500 for one day.
I know. I know.
You get a whole workstation now for that, and it's good for like buttloads of tunes.
Yeah.
Okay. So, are you, now that this guy came out on not Halloween, Valentine's Day.
Exactly.
Right,
on
right,
Broken Clover Records, it's a San Francisco label.
Okay, great. And but you know, when something comes out, right? Is it like, you know, like final exam in high school? No, it's like now I got to get ready for the next one.
Kind of, to be honest. I'm always like, I work on it as hard as I can until I'm totally happy. And then I just let it go. Then I'm like, you know, I release it, I hype it as much as I can, and then I just start working the next project. I just love, you know, doing that stuff. I mean, we immediately started doing the next Hack D. Picciotto album after I was done with my solo album, so that should be coming out sometime in the summer, I think. And so it was, I basically stopped recording my solo album on a Friday and then went into the studio with Alexander on a Monday to start composing and recording the other new stuff for us. So it was nonstop.
Right, no gaps.
Nope.
Well, you know what? Use momentum. Yeah, but there's something to say about momentum, right? You got the ball rolling. Why not, keep rolling with it?
Exactly. And again, because, you know, we were stuck here in Berlin.
Right.
We don't really have an apartment because we're nomads. We're just like in our studios all the time. And then what are you going to do in the studio? It's like not that comfortable. So you're just working.
Yeah. So music's a lifeline.
Exactly.
Yeah. Really interesting. And you know, and the other thing, it's not just words. It's not just talk. You know, we got the record. We got the next record. We got that. You know what I mean? It's a real thing.
Yeah,
what you said at the beginning of the show about the arts, you're so right. I mean, I'm in such agreement with you. So much about that.
Yeah, that we have, you know, we have like the possibility of kind of, you know, doing stuff that makes people feel something. So we have a responsibility to in that way. So, yeah, I mean, it's, you know, it's an honor to be able to do these things. And also, I'm lucky that I'm in Berlin and the rents are cheap here. And so, you know, you can actually earn money through your art and you don't have to worry that much about all the, you know, costs and stuff. So it's okay. I mean, especially because we don't have an apartment here, we have hardly any costs.
Yeah, I understand. But man, I love what you're doing with your expression, with your music. I love it. Please keep on keeping on, please.
Oh, thank you. I definitely will.
Okay, people. It's been the March 5, 2021 edition of Pedro Show. Keep your powder dry.